translation, your son Krishna appears as incarnations in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of Sukha apparent. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Please repeat. Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of Sukha apparent. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Partially explaining the position of Lord Krishna and partially covering the facts, Garga Muni indicated, your son is a great personality and he can change the color of his body in different ages. The word Grinataha indicates that Krishna is free to make his choice. In other words, he is the supreme personality of Godhead and may therefore do whatever he desires. In Vedic literatures, the different colors assumed by the personality of Godhead in different millenniums are stated, and therefore when Garga Muni said, your son has assumed three colors. He indirectly said, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Because of Krishna's atrocities, Garga Muni tried to avoid disclosing this fact. But he indirectly informed Nanda Maharaj that Krishna, his son, was the supreme personality of Godhead. It may be noted that Srila Jiva Goswami in his book, Krama Sandarbha, has enunciated the purport of this verse. In every millennium, Krishna appears in different forms, either as white, red, yellow, but this time he personally appeared in his original blackish form, and as presented by Garga Muni, exhibited the power of Narayan. Because in this form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibits himself fully. His name is Sri Krishna, the all-attractive. Factually, Krishna is the source of all avatars, and therefore all the different features of the different avatars are present in Krishna. When Krishna incarnates, all the features of other incarnations are also present within him. Other incarnations are partial representations of Krishna, who is the full-fledged incarnation of the Supreme Being. It is to be understood that the Supreme Being, whether appearing as Sukla, Rakta, or Pitta, white, red, or yellow, he is the same person. When he appears in different incarnation, he appears in different colors, just like the sunshine, which contains seven colors. Sometimes the colors of the sun are represented separately. Otherwise, the sunshine is observed mainly as bright light. The different avatars, such as the Manvantara avatars, Leela avatars, Dasha avatars, are all included in the Krishna avatar. When Krishna appears, all the avatars appear within him, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.26. Avatara hi asankhya hari sattva nidhir dvijaha yatta virasina kulya sarasa syu saharsvaya. The avatars incessantly appear, like incessantly flowing water. No one can count how many waves there are in flowing water. And similarly, there is no limitation to the avatars. And Krishna is the full representation of all avatars, because he is the source of all avatars. Krishna is Amsi, whereas others are Amsa, part of Krishna. All living beings, including us, are Amsa. There's a verse, Prabhupada quotes. Mamevamso jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana. He quotes the first line. Mamevamso jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana. These Amsas are all different magnitude. Human beings who are Manu Amsas and the demigods, Vishnu Tattva and other living beings are all part of the Supreme. Nitya Nityanadam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Kata Upanishad 2.2.13. Krishna is the full representation of all living beings. And when Krishna is present, all avatars are included in him. So Prabhupada has said this three times now, just to make it clear. The 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the incarnations of each yuga in chronological order. The Bhagavatam says, Kriti Suklas Chatur Bahu Triyam Raktasvaraso Drapare Bhagavan Syama and Krishna Varam Trisakrishnam. We actually see that in Kali Yuga, Bhagavan has appeared in Pittavanu as, or a yellow color, as Gaurasundra. Although the Bhagavatam speaks of Krishna Varnam, to adjust all these statements, one should understand that although in some yugas some of the colors are prominent, in every yuga, whenever Krishna appears, all colors are present. Krishna Varnam to Sakrishnam. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears without Krishna or a blackish color, he is understood to be Krishna himself. Edinam Kristitam Gata. The same original Krishna who appears in different varnas has now appeared. The word Ashan indicates that he is always present. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in his full feature, he is understood to be Krishna Varnam, although he appears in different colors. Prahlad states that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chana, that is, although he is Krishna, he is covered by a yellow color. Thus the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the conclusion that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in pitta color, he is Krishna. Krishna varam to sakrishnam sango pangas to pashadam yagya sankatampane yajanti hi sumedasa. End of purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, did I say Om Namo Bhagavate? No, I didn't. Did I? No. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Omagyarata mandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu sumulatam jena tasmai si gudvena maha si chaitanya manogastana sapatam nina bhutale swayam rupagaramayam dananti svapanantakam. Namo Om Shivaya Krishna Vasaya Vudale Sminishya Gola Vendasananta Nami Namo Shivaya Keshavada Vudale Shumati Bhakta Vodanta Svanta Nami Namaste Yisara Sathya Yuram Gauda Vani Vijayana Nene Vishisha Shumivari Vashtitari Sthani Jaya Shri Prabhupada. So, as usual, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is practically, it is said, he is also empowered, like a Shaktivesha avatar in one sense. He is an empowered personality. You cannot speak like this if you're an ordinary personality. You must be directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Prabhupada speaks, it is not the it is not the marginal potency speaking, it is not the external potency that's speaking. It is directly coming from the Supreme Lord. He is becoming instrument of his guru, and he is becoming instrument of the Lord, and he is speaking. And this is the right way to speak Bhagavatam or to serve Krishna. So, such wonderful words, so nicely put. This knowledge, this is the descending process. We cannot understand Krishna by our own calculations. This is something that's discussed. So, how do we understand Krishna? All this knowledge is given to us here. This is, one requires shraddha, faith. Because we are, let's think about our condition. We are practically covered in so many different ways. Our body, our mind, our senses, they're driving us here, driving us there. What knowledge do we have, really? We may have some sentiment of this or sentiment of that or some understanding here. But this pure knowledge of Krishna and our real position has to be revealed to us. It is a question of, it is a revelation. This comes through shraddha, faith. Just like it's described, sailors, when they're sailing on the ocean, they require compass. They require guidance and compass. If without that compass, they'd be finished. So they need that to guide them. So we also require such things. So this... you have to take a risk, actually. You have to take a risk. No risk is said, no risk, no gain. More risk, more gain. So you take a risk, you come out of your conditioning. What your family has told you, what your relatives have told you, what your scientists have told you, what your friends have told you about this world. You take a risk, you come out and forget this. Forget about trying to be successful in this material world. Even if you are successful, forget about even trying to find happiness in this material world. Because if you look at your calculations, you'll find we're always looking to put ourselves in a comfortable position. Forget that as well. What is the value of that for us, actually? Because even if we manipulate the material energy and our senses in such ways, what would be the value? Because the body is finished after a while. And our friends are finished, and our relatives are finished. Everything's finished here. So there's no value whatsoever in us in making any material calculations for our own satisfaction. We are in a hopeless situation. We must have shraddha, faith, and from that faith, the acharyas are described. You know what comes from faith? It is called lulyam, greed, anger, greed, sorry, greed. Greed. You see, first you have faith. Yes, we have faith. And actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, he showed a perfect example of this because he was a great astrologer. He was such a great astrologer, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. But he would make these calculations, and then sometimes he would go to his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he would say, well, I've made this. But sometimes the great Thakur, his father, he would say things contrary, and he would not corroborate what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's arrangements were made. But because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had faith in something, he was just playing lila, that's all. Because he was actually he was a nitya siddha. He's nitya siddha. All these personalities, these are nitya siddhas. We should never consider them to be ordinary personalities. So he was just playing the part. So he he would take his father's instruction and he would forget any calculations that he was making. So this is the important point. And if you look at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you'll find the same thing happened there. Because at first Arjuna wanted to make his own calculations as to what was good for him and what was good for society, wasn't it? How come you ask me to fight this war? All these women, they'll be without their husbands. And if they're without their husbands, they'll be unwanted progeny, and so on and so forth. He made all these calculations about this material world and what's good and what's bad, not thinking that actually Krishna will probably make all these arrangements. I know that everything's going to be destroyed and there will be all these difficulties, but not thinking, well, even if there is some destruction or some difficulties, Krishna will make other arrangements and like that. So also Duryodhana, wasn't it? He had the choice, didn't he? He could either have Krishna's army or he could have Krishna. And see, making his own calculations, he's thinking, oh, I shall have Krishna's army. Because if I have Krishna's army, we are well supplied with very able soldiers. And what hope do the other side have against us? Look at us. You see, he's making all these calculations. So we ourselves, we do this in our life. We always make our own calculations to what's good for us. Forget it. We should forget it, but it's a hard habit to stop. But one may also think, oh, anything is happening by the Lord. Everything is happening, because Prabhupada once said, everything is, at least he said this actually in Vrindavan when he was still translating Prabhupada's books, translating Bhagavatam. He said, everything is happening by the supreme desire of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness, right? He said this, didn't he? You've heard that? Well, you heard that, yes? Well, one time, one devotee, he did something which wasn't very nice. He made a mistake, and he said, oh, it must be, everything is Krishna. It must have happened because Krishna made it happen. So Prabhupada said, no. So he's contradicting. He said, no, this is not. This is Maya's arrangement. It's not Krishna's arrangement. So how do you come to understand that? What do you think? Everything is happening by the supreme desire of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada said, because this devotee, he put salt in the sweet rice instead of sugar, you see. So he's always, what's that happened by Krishna's arrangement? Prabhupada said, no, this is not Krishna's arrangement. So we have to make our own, to make sure that we are doing everything according to what Krishna's arrangement is, we will have to follow Sadguru. We will have to follow Sadguru. We will have to engage in devotional service. Then we'll become purified. Atatsi Krishna Namadi Nabhava Grahamindriya Sivamukhi Hijivarayan. Isn't it? That verse is there. The senses need to become purified. And when the senses are purified, then we'll understand what is Krishna. So there's various ways of purifying the senses. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parisevanam, all these are processes of devotional service which we have to undergo. So we have to be very serious about our spiritual life and constant, and never give up. The last month it was the Radha Damodar Leela, and you can see, you remember the Leela, Mother Yashoda, she took that rope because Krishna, you know, she wanted to tie Krishna up. So that rope, it was always too short, so she kept fetching more and more rope from the village. Give me more, give me more, give me more rope, more rope, more rope. And she kept and kept. She never gave up on trying to tie Krishna up, because she, out of her love, she wanted to, isn't it? So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, in the purport of his commentary on the 10th canto, he mentions how there was a competition going on between his devotee and Krishna. And the devotee, the sincere devotee, he never gives up. He never gives up. As Mother Yashoda never gave up. So, and eventually, what happened was that Krishna, he submitted to the love of his devotee. This is what happens to us in our lives, in our devotional life. We have to keep on doing this business. Never stop this business of trying to become purified from material energy. You never stop this business. Your whole life will be like that, actually. In fact, you'll never think that you've even achieved what you've got to achieve. That is the nature of Vaishnava. As you know, you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj. He says, I am like, don't even speak my name. I'm lower than the worm in the stool. I am. So this is the nature of Vaishnava. He never thinks he's going to be. But, you know. So, but nevertheless, he is an exalted personality. I remember one devotee, Bhaktivedanta Mala, once said to me, he was a leading devotee, and he made the error of saying that such and such a personality, he says that to become guru, you have to be uttama, you have to become very advanced devotee. But he is guru. Therefore, he must think he's like that. Otherwise, where would he take that position? That was his material calculation. He didn't realize that, no, that's not how that Vaishnava felt about himself. He felt himself to be very... In fact, he felt himself to be the servant of everyone. He never felt himself to be very advanced. In fact, it's described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that we should always be the seen, not the seer. When we come before the deities, we have to be this. It's like a subjective objective. We have to become this. Even among the Vaishnavas, we should be the seen. We should look upon all the Vaishnavas in such a way that we are their servant. This is the real essence of spiritual life. And even the acharyas described that even Srimati Radharani, the most exalted of all the servants of Krishna, she also feels herself to be not able to serve Krishna properly. So this is the culture, the higher culture of. So these something. Well, anyway, these things will come because the soul is. The soul is inherent. These qualities are there. We do not have to make any other adjustments in any other way other than chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, studying the philosophy, praying to the acharyas, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Automatically, these qualities will come about. There's no need of any other adjustment. This, that, and the other. No. It's simply... chant Hare Krishna and all these things will be revealed to you. So, going back to the purport for one second, which is all about Lord Krishna appearing. We have to have this faith. We cannot make our own calculations. And therefore, having faith and not making our own calculations, we shall take shelter of the Shastra. With the fourth offense to the holy name is to consider that the Vedic literature or anything in pursuance of the Vedic literature, isn't it, to blaspheme. So if we don't have faith in the literatures, either the Bhagavatam directly or the literatures written like Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, they have written so many commentaries, Rupa Goswami, all these personalities, they have depicted the spiritual realm. So when we read this, for instance, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, he has given a very in-depth commentary on the Astakali Leela of Krishna, exactly what is going on, at what time, what day, what the moods is, how this one. So all these literatures are in pursuance of the Vedic version. They are directly from the spiritual world. They are direct leelas from the spiritual world. So when we study such leelas, we are in the spiritual world, actually. if we could only know it. But Krishna will reveal these things to us. Sadhus will reveal these things. And there's one verse, Shushu Saridhanasya Vasu Devakataru Chi Samahat Seva Vipala Punya Tetan Sevana. So here's an ideal opportunity. Srila Prabhupada, he is spent the latter part of his life translating these literatures. Now he wants us to distribute them. So it's an opportunity for us to serve such a sadhu. And if we serve such a sadhu solely, we will become purified. Atatsi Krishna Namadina Bhava Gyan India. Our senses will become purified. Krishna will become very pleased with us. What will he do when he's pleased with us? He will give us inspiration. He will reveal to us. He will give us a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. When we enter into them wonderful literatures, we will actually relish them. This is the symptom of Krishna consciousness, someone who can relish the topic. So this is not something we can do in any academic way or any other way. It is all revelation. So Krishna said, in the Brahma Samhita, he said, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So this is the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama, Krishna is the Ishvara. Another verse, what's that verse starts Ishvara about the jivas being in the material world? Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddhe Ste Adin Tistate Brahmayam Sarvabhutani Yantu Yudvani Mayaya. So Krishna is the Ishvara in so many different ways. He's directing the wandering of all living entities. He's the super soul situated in the heart. Oh, this jiva wants this, this jiva wants that. I have to give him this, I have to give him that. Isn't it like that? Also, Brahmananda, Brahmati, Gona, Bhagavandi, Guru Krishna, Vasai, Bhai, Bhattali, even wandering all over the universe as a jiva, looking for this, looking for that, not knowing that what he's looking for is right within him. not knowing. Foolishly thinking, no, there's something more. There's something more. It is a mystery to some extent. Why is that the jiva? But it is independence of the jiva. The jiva has independence. So Krishna is the supreme controller. Anadi adi, without beginning. Sarvakara Karanam, the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavatam, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, Son of Vasudeva, all pervading personality of God, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. It is you only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By you, even the great sages and demigods are placed in delusion. Isn't it? Even the great sages and demigods. We see Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, they were all confused. Who is this Krishna? Lord Brahma could not believe that, although he was coming from Lord Krishna's navy, he could not believe this boy in Vrindavan, this young boy, he is not the supreme person. Lord Indra could not believe. So Lord Krishna, even the great sages and demigods placed in delusion. What is the other part of that verse? Oh my Lord, I know that verse. Oh, Lord Krishna's anyway. So, what to speak of us as minute jivas? What to speak of us? So, this is also described in so many verses in the Bhagavatam as well, how Krishna is the cause of all causes. Maya jakshena prakriti suyase cha chala chalam hetanu nana kuntaya jagat viparipati. The material world is one of my energies. It works under my control. All moving and non-moving living entities, they're coming from me, Krishna says. Under its rule, things are created and annihilated. So in this material world, time is an interesting concept. Because in the spiritual world, there is no time. Therefore, in the spiritual realm, for instance, here's an example perhaps you could consider. when Krishna is in his lilas with his friends, the different aspects of his lilas. For instance, when Srimati Radharani and the gopis at night they're with Krishna, in the morning they have to leave Krishna's association. They have been with him all night, dancing, rasa dance, so many activities, so much wonderful music is going on. You can imagine the musicians that assemble for that rasa dance, what quality they have. We can only, we cannot imagine, it's beyond our imagination, but the quality of the transcendental realm, how the transcendental body is ever increasingly satisfied by the spiritual dimension, these things we have to consider. So time, for instance, when Srimati Radharani leaves Krishna, she feels, it's described that it's like lightning. In Krishna's association, it's like lightning. And then when you leave Krishna, it is like darkness. So she feels that when after the leelas take place and she has to go back to her mother's house, she feels, why are you taking me back? She says to her friends, why are you taking me back to my mother-in-law's house? Why do I have to go here? She feels that she's not even spent that time with Krishna. Although she's just been with Krishna, because time works differently there, she feels that she's not spent time with Krishna. She feels so much separation like that. But when she meets with Krishna again, it's like she's never been with Krishna before. It's ever new, you see. This is how time is absent in the spiritual world. And everything is ever new. Prabhupada used to say the chanting of the holy name is ever new. It's never become stale. In material life, the relationships, they fade, they disappoint, and they eventually... But in Krishna's lila, in the spiritual realm, there's no time. Therefore, every time you meet, it's like you never met before. It's super enthusing, and it's because their energy works in that way. That's the spiritual energy. It's another dimension, another plane of existence. So we were saying, you have to have faith in that higher plane of existence. It's not just earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, force, ego. That's just one small energy. The other energies are there. So Krishna is... these things are all described. How Krishna... Advaitam achyutam ananda ananda rupam adyam purana purusham navayovaram cha vereshu dulabam adulabam atma bhakto. This is a verse also Brahma Samhita. Govindam aripusham tamaham bhajami. So, Advaitam, without second. He is the supreme, without second. Everything is coming, emanating from that one supreme being. He is expanding himself in so many different ways. Different jivas, different avatars coming, and so on. Achyutam, there's no decay, no beginning. Endless form, ananta rupam, he has endless forms that we were describing before in this verse. Prabhupada said, like the rivers on the ocean, on the river, there's so many waves coming, all the time. How can we conceive that there are so many incarnations and avatars of Krishna? Is it beyond our, isn't it? But if you consider I made a note here of the Manvantara avatars. You guys are going to do Sankirtan Yoga Ki Jai. The Manvantara avatars, so many of them. It is said that in the day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. So there's 420 in one month, 5,040 in one year, and 504,000 Manus in the life of Brahma. You see? And then there are millions and millions of universes, each with a Brahma in that, you see. And not only that, but some of the Brahmas have 5 foreheads, some 8, some 12, some 16, some. So all these things are very inconsiderable to us. This is how we get this. And the Manu avatars, they are, what is their capacity? What are they doing? They are instructing mankind what they should and shouldn't be doing. They're giving indications as to how we should live our lives. Because this is Krishna's main business. He wants us to return to him. So these endless forms are there. So without second, no decay, no beginning. But at the same time, Adyam, he has a beginning. Purana Purusham, he is the most ancient of persons. But at the same time, he is Navayovanam, he is blooming youth. His form is a blooming youth. Isn't it, Srinivas Prabhu? You know, this form of Krishna. You won't catch Krishna going, Prabhupada used to say, you won't catch Krishna going down the factories or going to having to go to work. He is simply an enjoyer. He has different forms, even in his Krishna form, isn't it? There is Dhirulita, Dhirudatta, Dhirupashanta. He has different moods because he deals with, for instance, the way he deals with Lord Indra and then the way he deals, Dhirulalita form, that's his form when he's with his friends, when he's with his gopi friends, and he's exchanging different rasas with them. He is very attractive to them. The conjugal mellow is very attractive to Radharani and all her friends. They serve Krishna in that mellow, you see. There is no tinge of lust there in their relationship. It is simply to give pleasure to Krishna. That is this is described by Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Maharaj in his writings on the 10th canto. Sometimes Srimati Radharani, when Krishna is relishing her form, she thinks, oh, now this is the perfection of my life because Krishna is enjoying my form and my transcendental. He is enjoying, so therefore my life is now perfect. That is how she is thinking. So Krishna is, he's described also as adhoksaja. He is beyond the range of the limited senses. He is adhoksaja. So, the transcendental plane. This transcendental plane, we have, sometimes one of our acharyas, he said that, we even dare to speak of that plane, such an exalted plane of existence. We dare to speak of this plane. Who are we to speak of such an exalted plane? They say like that. But actually, we can speak through these things to some extent because of our acharyas and what they have heard all through our disciplic succession. And actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he says that the guru, he is the very ground that we walk on. He is the very ground that we walk on in the spiritual realm. He's the very ground. He's everything to us. Without him, we have no ground to walk on. And what is, you know, the transcendental ground especially we're referring to. But even in this ground, how to walk in this ground in the proper light? It is all coming from such sadhus. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're coming towards the end. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, you see, in the end of this purport, is described in Mahaprabhu. So we know there's a few verses. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodaro Gaurudaya Pushpavancho Chitta Sandhu Tamonadu. Mahaprabhu, he has risen with Nityananda like the sun and the moon. Sun giving us light, moon cooling rays to give us relief from this business of trying to find pleasure in this realm, in this material realm. Mahaprabhu comes like the soothing moon. And so both things are rising together. Zalavasavaravaro he mango vungas langadangadi sanyaskuchama shanto nishta shanti parayanaha. That is in the Mahabharata. The Mahaprabhu, he has taken to the fourth order of life, the sannyasi, and he is covered in nice sandalwood paste, and he's differentiated from the Mayavad sannyasis because he's teaching devotional service. He's teaching the, and he's bringing to this plane, he is bringing the transcendental truths of the spiritual realm of Goloka Vrindavan, namely. Therefore, the Harinam Sankirtan is not an ordinary vibration. Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan Vachinanjama is descending into this realm. So Mahaprabhu's Leela is going on. How is Mahaprabhu's Leela is going on when you think about it? It's going on with inside us. Cheto Dapanam Majanam. It is constantly going on inside our hearts, this Mahaprabhu. He's constantly irking us to come on, get yourself purified. And he's given the process how to do this. And also the devotees on the street, they are doing their Sankirtan Leela. When they are giving that book to someone, or when we're doing our Harinam Sankirtan, when they hear the holy name, that Mahaprabhu's Leela is now inserted into the heart of that person. Now he is becoming infected by this business. It is a fact, you know, it's still going on. He is becoming infected. What is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare? What is this? And then the people start to question, and they start. And immediately, that's the start of their devotional life. That is Bhaktamukhi Sukriti. That Sukriti is being given. So this Sukriti is so important, because without that Sukriti, you cannot start your devotional life. So the merciful Sankirtan devotee is doing this marathon, and also any devotee, any time, during, if they just simply try to give something of Krishna to someone, it might even be prasadam. This is all starting of the lives of these jivas. This we must have faith in. Why should we not have faith in such things? This is what the acharyas have told us. There's one interesting thing I was going to. This is a very important point. The intuition of the pure devotee should always be given preference over materially truthful calculations of ordinary persons. This is a very important point. The intuition of the pure devotee. He knows the process of how to take a jiva out of the material world. He knows the process. He's given the process. See, Harinam Sankirtan Yagya, Bhukta Spiritual, Prasad Spiritual, so many, all this preaching and so on. This is the process. And it is a very urgent process. There's so many jivas out there. And so we follow the instructions of such sadhus. And then, and in our shastra, there's evidence for this. There is much evidence for this. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Brajanda Nandanaya Sachi Sutta Holo Se Bhalavam Holo Nitai Dina Hina Jata Chilo Harinama Udurilo Tada Sakshi Jagai Marai. Jagai Marai, they are the proof that Brajanda Nandanaya, this Krishna, he has come in the, and he has become the son of Sachi Devi. Balam, he has become Lord Nityananda. Dina Hino, the most fallen people, by this Harinam Sankirtan, they will be saved. What is the proof? Jagai Madai. So, there's nothing more to be said on the matter. We simply have to follow. And you know, you Sankirtan devotees and those devotees that preach Krishna consciousness, you can see how Mahaprabhu's movement is going on, isn't it? It's true. It's going on. So, but not only must the movement go on inside in terms of preaching, but we ourselves we will be hopeless unless we personally increase our meditation. We must increase our meditation. We must increase our hearing and chanting. If we increase our hearing and chanting, then the Sankirtan movement will become so powerful. So powerful. That's why Srila Prabhupada was able to do what he did. Because if you look at how many bhajans, if you go on Prabhupada's bhajans, he was always singing bhajan. He was absorbed in the spiritual world. Now, I know he was also managing a huge society, but that wasn't the only thing he was doing. He was living in different dimensions. He was living in the spiritual world as well, because he was cultivating his Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So, just to finish off finally, because it's connected, Jiva Goswami, he gives an understanding of how we can apply ourselves to this process very nicely. He says, first, little search with the mind for the Lord's name. Okay? So our mind is everywhere. It's a little search in our mind for the Lord's name and his form. That is called smaranam. Then withdraw the mind completely from externals onto the Lord and delve towards the Lord. That is called dharana. So we have to become yogis. I was telling one devotee the other day, we were having a discussion. I said, we have to become yogis, isn't it? Become a yogi, Krishna says. You have to become a yogi. What is yogi? Mind control. Mind always fixed, never affected by the external energy. We have to practice becoming a yogi. This is what Jiva Goswami is saying. First, you find the holy name in your mind. Next, you practice taking it away from externals, all the worries you have in your life, all this, how much money I have, this relationship, that relationship, what's going to have to be when I get older, how am I going to maintain myself, what does this person think of me, what does that person think of me, am I educated, am I not educated, what family do I come from, do I come from middle class, aristocratic, or do I come, all these, isn't it? Isn't these things running through the conditioned soul? He's always worrying about this, worrying about so many things. So take your mind away from these things and delve on the Lord. And then to fix the mind on specific forms and pastimes. That is called dhyana. Dhyana is to withdraw the mind, and he says that dhyana is to fix the mind on specific pastimes. So you have to practice this business. This is called yoga. This is called yoga. Otherwise, what are we doing here? We are becoming yogis. So if we are not fixing our mind on Lord's activities, what he's doing, how he's relating to his devotees in the spiritual realm, we will not be able to fully give people Krishna consciousness. You can keep yourself busy all day long, and that's very nice. Because by that process, you'll get to the stage where you can do smaranam, dharanam, dhyana. And then, when dhyana is uninterrupted, that gives excessive bliss. That is called dhruva ashmrita, according to Jiva Goswami. So this whole science of how to take that mind to become a perfected yogi. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in all circumstances, become a yogi. And in that purport, Baba said, he speaks about how the yogi, he is the bhakti yogi, he's interested in Krishna in a two-handed form playing a flute. He's interested in all the activities that Krishna performs in the spiritual world and what kind of relationship he has with this one and that one, and how they're acting in various ways, and what humor there is there, and so many things. It's unlimited. Anyway, I didn't get to talk too much about the yoga avatars, but there's, just to finish off with briefly, there is Satya, Trita, Black. The Satya is the white avatar. He has four arms. He has matted locks. He has garments of tree bark. He carries a black deer skin and prayer beads and a rod and a pot of a brahmachari. He is known as Hamsa, Shrupana, Dharma, or Amala. The Treta Avatar, he is reddish in color. He has four arms, golden hair, triple belt, which represents initiation into the three Vedas, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, and Yajna Veda. He has a symbol of ladle and a spoon. And then the blackish, he is Krishna himself in this Dwapara Yuga. And then in Kali Yuga, Krishna comes in the, actually it's described as black form, but also yellow, because Krishna, the Mahaprabhu is not one of the incarnations. He is the original Supreme Lord. But his color is covered because he's in the sentiment of mood of Srimati Radharani. And therefore, he has taken that mood. It's like when we get angry, our color changes. We become red and enraged. So when Krishna is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, his color changes. He becomes very magnanimous, because Radharani's mood is very soft, very magnanimous. So when Krishna, he was in the spiritual world, he did his leela, he came from Kurukshetra, he killed all the warriors, and then afterwards he went back to the spiritual world, and then he thought, and I must come again to teach these devotees what it means, how to become a devotee of Krishna. Because he said, become a devotee, didn't he? Mamana bhavavatato majajim namaskaru, surrender to me, think of me. Then he, well, how are you going to do this? So he came as Mahaprabhu, and this is the process, how you can do this. So the holy name and prema. Because isn't it the fact that the holy name's been around for many, many years, the Hare mantra, right? When Mahaprabhu took that mantra from Ishvara Puri, he added prema. And what kind of prema? The prema are the residents of Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, Goloka Prema Dana Harinam Sang. This is what. And Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Punya Sudam Nitya Minama Namana. This name is full of all the lilas and is full of all the ecstasies of the lilas. Mahaprabhu was given that. So Nama and Prema, both things are there. This is why Mahaprabhu is taking that name from Ishvara Puri, and he's added this prema, and he's added all the ingredients of the Goloka Vrindavan is contained inside. This is how Mahaprabhu's plan that he has thought. Oh, how am I going to give this understanding of the spiritual realm? I shall do it through the holy name. But then he gave the process of the 10 offenses to the holy name and the Shikshashtakam. So if you want to know how to chant the holy name properly, the Shikshashtakam is there, and also the 10 offenses to the holy name. Okay? So we'll finish here, because I think some devotees need to go a second time. Any comments, questions?